Hey, this is Pastor Roy Barrett from Discover Life Church. Thank you for joining today's podcast. Now let's get ready to be transformed, have our hearts encouraged, and live the life God has created us to live. Enjoy today's teaching. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter number 1, and we're going to look at verses 6 through 12. 2 Chronicles chapter number 1, and this is not going to be your traditional Mother's Day message per se. It's not going to be a traditional Mother's Day message. We've been in this series entitled Figuring Things Out.
Right.
Because during this time, I believe one of the benefits that has been afforded to us with this pandemic situation, and there's been some restrictions on our normal schedule of just going to and fro, with this reduced time that we have to really just go and do as we want.
Right.
I think one of the benefits has been that it's given us time to really start reevaluating our lives, to rethink some things. And so we've been in this series entitled Figuring Things Out.
Right.
And of course, everything that we've shared is coming from the foundation of faith, figuring out my faith. So we've talked about figuring out my faith, figuring out my finances, and figuring out my fight. And today we're going to focus on figuring out my family, specifically just the whole context of friendships and relationships during this time.
Yes.
Because if God is going to do anything great and significant in your life, it's going to happen through a relationship. Salvation, for example, is a relationship. So whatever God has purposed and promised, decreed and declared, whatever you believe in God for, it's going to happen through a relationship. If you're believing God for provisions, it's going to happen through a relationship. If it ain't nothing but the mailman bringing the check in the mail, that's a relationship
And
so today we're going to be focused on figuring out family. So go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter number 1, and we want to look at verses 6 through 12. 2 Chronicles chapter number 1. Verses 6 through 12, and I am reading from the New International Version, so if it sounds a little different, that's okay. Just follow along. Watch verse number 6. Solomon went up to the bronze altar before the Lord in the tent of meeting and offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. That night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." And Solomon answered, "God, you have shown great kindness to David, my father, and have made me king in his place. Now, Lord God, let your promise to my father David be confirmed, for you have made me king over a people who are as numerous as the dust on the earth. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people, for who is able to govern this great people of yours?" God said to Solomon, "Since this is your heart's desire," that is the key phrase, "since this is your heart's desire, and you have not asked for wealth, possessions, or honor, not for the death of your enemies, and since you've not asked for a long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I have made you king, therefore, wisdom and knowledge will be given to you, and I will also give you wealth, possessions, and honor, such as no king who was before you ever had, and none after you will have." And so that is our foundation verse and passage where we're going to talk from. And again, today we're going to just talk about figuring things out. And our focus is going to be figuring out my family or my friendships and my relationships. And I'm going to start from this remembrance. Again, anything and everything God has purposed and promised, it is going to come through a friendship. It's going to come through a relationship. Even our salvation is rooted in a relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
So you and I cannot get excused or exempt from having relationships on earth.
Okay.
Because whatever God is going to get to you, he's going to need a person. He's going to need a body. He's going to need a physical body to be the conduit of his hands and of his hearts. So it's imperative that you and I know how to cultivate, how to steward, how to manage, how to create the type of relationships that facilitate the best of God's blessings and promises that he has for us. And that's what we want to highlight today, because I believe many of you, if you're like me, you're in this season right now where you're reevaluating relationships.
Right.
You're looking at which relationships require the most of my energy mm-hmm. and my effort, mm-hmm. which relationships should receive the premium right. of my finances, of my thoughts. And it's not that the relationships are all bad. Right. It's just the truth of the matter is God calls us into seasons and stages and places of life where you and I got to assess our relationship and say, let me figure these things out, because relationships become the vehicle by which I accomplish and do the will of God. And so when we look at this story that I have to admit that my lovely wife felt the impression from God on, which, look, we're in this together, because I had another story and she was just like, I really feel like God is speaking to this one. And, you know, every now and then the brother got enough sense to recognize she may be, yeah, she hearing God. And so we're just going to share some things from our heart that we believe would encourage you during this time. Now, let's set the backdrop up, you know, as I customarily love to do to make sure everybody understand. David was king. David, upon his death, said he wanted his son Solomon to be king. And so Solomon is now on the throne. And after this big sacrifice, God comes to Solomon with a blank check saying, literally, what do you want?
Right.
And that's how, and that's where we are. But what I want to emphasize is that when you do a study of Solomon's time as king, many, many, many writers, theologians, scholars, they tend to blanket Solomon's reign as king as being marked by a time of great peace,
okay,
great prosperity, great progress, and great promotion. Those four P's.
That's good.
Started by his dad, David, mm-hmm. but he expanded and built upon what David did. A time of great peace, prosperity, promotion, and progress. Not because Solomon mastered kingship.
Okay.
Not the position of being a king.
Right.
But what he mastered and became very, very great at was understanding the significance of figuring out friendships and relationships. That was a key component to mm-hmm. how his kingdom experienced such the wonders and the blessings of the Lord. And the reason I'm highlighting that is because of this. Those things that we see with Solomon, his kingdom, his dominion, a time of great peace, prosperity, right. promotion, right. Mm-hmm. progress, prosperity, any other P you want to place with it, plenty, or whatever you want to do it. We want those in our friendships and relationships.
Right.
That when you assess your friendships and relationships, mm-hmm. you want to know, man, this relationship lends itself to me having peace.
Right.
This friendship, this relationship lends itself to prosperity in my life. This mm-hmm. friendship, this relationship, whether my relationship and friendship at home, where I work, mm-hmm. Where I go mm-hmm. to church, where I go work out, where you can't really go to the gyms like you. That's another
where
you used to go work out. It lends itself to the relationships and to the right. friendship. This is why when we say we're going to focus on the type of relationships and friendships that God blesses, we're not talking about material stuff.
Right.
That's part of it. But we're talking about cultivating the friendships, the relationships, figuring out the friendships and relationships that you know at the end of the day, mm-hmm. you're connected to, you in relationship with, mm-hmm. you have friendship with the people that God is working through to bring the best out of you, and you're bringing the best out of them, and everybody is the better off because of the health and the holiness and the wholesome of the relationship.
Right, right. And I just agree. And even as we're looking at this, can I point out that Pastor Roy said that Solomon is the son of King David. Remember, King mm-hmm. David is the one that the Lord said he was a man yes. after God's own heart,
yes.
right? So what we want to point out, and as we're beginning to, as we continue to look into this passage, it begins to talk about, the scripture gives us a picture of Solomon's heart. Yes. And like his father, Solomon had a heart for God. And so as we're looking at this and figuring out our family, our relationships and friendships, we're looking at the heart
yes.
that God can bless, the heart that the Lord is asking us to carry, and the heart that as a mom on this Mother's Day and as a father
yes.
that we want to pass down to our children.
Yes.
You know, I want to give you material things, but I want to give you a heart after God. And I recognize that I can't give my children,
right.
per se, a heart after God, but I can I can display an example that before them that they say, that's who I want to be. And I believe many of us can look back at our parents, and some of us can't. But, you know, no matter where you are, God is placing examples in front of us, even if we are that example, to be for people who aren't even our natural children, that God, that would make them want more of God.
Yes.
So as we look into this passage in Second Chronicles, and as we really delve into this season, this little, this moment, it's funny. It's like the scripture gives us a glimpse into somebody's life and into their heart.
Yes.
As we look into this glimpse, and as we're going to learn in just a few moments, it's a glimpse into a private time of prayer that he had. We're going to learn the heart that God can bless
the
as it relates to relationships.
The heart. So and just even in setting that up, I think oftentimes we miss the power and the beauty of relationships and friendships because we start so much with the external that we don't start with the internal. We don't start with the heart. This is what, well, that lends itself really to point number one. So here you go. Figuring things out, my family, the relationships and friendships that God blesses. Number one, they're established on a foundation of sacrifice. They're established on a foundation of sacrifice. They're established on a foundation of sacrifice. Now, we didn't say at the beginning, but you guys know if you've been with us any while, comments, feedback, engage with
questions.
Us. Questions.
Talk back. This is a conversation that we're going to have.
Talk back with us during this time. Don't just sit and instill, but talk back during us. They're established on a foundation of sacrifice. It's one thing for me to read that passage and go directly to, ooh, look at God. God told Solomon, you know, what do you want?
Right.
But we can miss the preceding action and attitude that Solomon had where it says he had just offered up sacrifice
to
God.
That's right.
And what I mean by that is this. Many times people enter into friendships and relationships with the attitude of taking and the attitude of getting as opposed to the attitude of giving.
That's good. That's good.
We enter into friendships and relationships. What am I going to get out of this? Mm-hmm. How is this going to benefit me? Now, I'm not saying you and I are just to allow ourselves to be the victim of leeches in a relational context.
Right, right.
I'm saying if the primary attitude for building relationships that bless is sacrifice, then that means when I am beginning to form relationships, create relationships, I don't start with what am I going to get out of this? I start with, man, God, what are you asking me to give away?
Right.
Because
right.
in God's kingdom, you gain through giving away.
Right.
And Solomon established friendships and relationships with the primary and the entry attitude, the attitude that he entered into friendships and relationships was with this sacrifice. And the sacrifice is the killing of self-centeredness and selfishness.
That's good.
The relationships that God blesses, the relationships, friendships that God blesses are those where people have entered into it with the understanding, I'm not trying to just gain and get. I am looking to give.
That's good. And can we just kind of pause for a second there?
Yeah.
And every parent, come on now, every parent, we can, I don't know about you, let me put it on me. I can look back and I can say whenever I entered into whatever area of parenting I am, if I enter it in with a self kind of what am I going to be able to get from it? How can I appease myself and make myself comfortable? I end up tripping over whatever the task, whatever the season is. But when we recognize that as a parent, as a leader, then I am here to serve.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
That as Jesus gave us the example of being here to serve, that I am here to serve. When I have that attitude and I say, God, you repay me and I don't look to get from who I'm serving, then life is so much more smooth. And then here's the thing, talking as leaders, if you kind of scroll up a little bit on in your Bible and you look at the beginning, I think it's in verse two, it talks about Solomon called all the leaders of Israel together. So in his position of leadership, Solomon gathers everyone together before he goes to make this sacrifice. And that looks to me that Solomon says, everything in my realm of influence, I am going to point to sacrifice. I'm going to point to service to God from the place of sacrifice and servitude.
Yes, that's
and
right.
So as a leader, because you are leaders, whether you're saying, God, I only have one person on my team, but you're still a leader of that one person. Truth be said, you're the leader of you right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, the first person we lead is ourselves.
Yes.
So be it at work, be it in your family, God is calling us to point everything to a heart of service and sacrifice.
That's great.
So let's keep rolling.
Can I get some emojis that she preaching? No. Can I get some emojis that she preaching?
We just want to get our hearts out.
You got some emojis and some love from one of your colleagues, Pastor Asia, Pastor Jason, Pastor Asia,
so
Church of the Rock up north. And so I love that service and sacrifice.
Yeah.
Because watch this. Many times you will never see the benefit of the relationship and friendship immediately up front.
That's right.
You don't know the benefits of insurance often until you get into an accident. You don't know. And I think if we're not careful, don't get blinded and don't become deceived about the necessity and the importance of relationships and friendships because you're making a decision with short-term information.
That's good.
You have to get in it in order to really see the benefit.
Right.
And so sometimes we can miss the blessing of a person being in our lives because we're making a decision based upon limited information.
That's good.
And you have to be willing to die to self. You have to be willing to literally die to self and cultivate the relationships and friendships where you say, man, my focus isn't about me just trying to get. It is about me. It's about me giving myself away. The relationships and friendships that God bless, they are those where the person enters in with the attitude of sacrifice. And so what I want to say also up underneath this point is watch this. Friendships and relationships that God blesses, number one, they're built on the foundation of sacrifice, because wherever God sees and smells the death to self-centeredness and selfishness, he's always going to make himself known, present, and relevant.
Yes, that's good.
God is attracted to the death of the self-led, self-ruled, and self-centered life.
Right.
God is never attracted to the presence of flesh.
Mm.
He's attracted to the presence,
God help us all,
of the absence of flesh, where you and I are not making it about us.
That's good.
So the more we die to self, the more we think about, can you imagine how healthy, how more fulfilling our marriages would be if each spouse woke up every day, how can I serve my spouse? Die to self. That's called conviction.
Oh, Jesus.
That's called conviction, right? That was a conviction.
His mercies are new every
day. His mercies are new every day. Yes, they are. But can you imagine if our two sons, who are both teenagers, who are both competitive, I blame my little brother. I blame Keith Simmons in Virginia for this. Our two sons are competitive. They are athletes at heart. They are competitive in everything, in Uno, in running, in football, in sports, in grades. They're just competitive. Can you imagine if my two teenage sons, if our two teenage sons woke up every morning and say, man, how can I serve Tyler? How can I serve Ryan today? What can I do to make his life a better day? Oh God, can I just, hold on, let me just feel that prayer.
That would be amazing. I'm in agreement.
That would be so much easier. Enter into with attitude. Now, let's go to point number two. So talking about relationships and friendships that God blessed. Number one, they are built on sacrifice. They're built on a foundation of sacrifice. Guys, we're looking to see your comments, questions, feedback. Let us know, you know, if you got some insights. We want to hear you, so please talk back to us. Watch this. Second of all, the type of friendships and relationship God blesses, they're engaged as being a gift.
Right.
They're engaged as being a gift. What do you mean being a gift? I think one of the things I've never paid attention to as much as I've seen this passage and read this passage is that Solomon says, God, you have allowed me to be a king as an act of kindness to my father, David. You've allowed me to be a king as an act of kindness to my father, David. So what he is saying is, I am not entitled to anything, even though I'm an heir by birth.
That's good.
Somebody else could be in this position. Somebody else could be sitting in this seat. It is a gift. And when you think about a gift, you and I are talking about allowing someone's presence, someone's influence in our lives,
right,
we give them permission to influence us, preferably in a good way, but we give them permission as well as we appreciate them for who they are, right, not what they do. And we value that.
Bridget says, I tell people all the time that I am a gift. Yes, Bridget.
Yes, you are, Bridget.
You are a gift.
And the reason that's highlighted is because God cannot bless relationships and friendships where we see people as pawns and not as persons.
That's good. And that, it's so funny because when we really look at the culture that we live in right now, the culture that we live in says, when you encounter someone, we're talking about engaging people, mm-hmm. when you encounter someone, when you encounter a company, when you encounter an environment, your first thing is to size it up and see what can it do for you.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the contrary. As believers, as Christian ambassadors Christ, representatives of God on the earth, we are to size up an environment, to look at a person and say, Lord, what do you want to do through me to be a blessing to them?
Yes.
It's a contradiction,
yes,
right?
To
from
culture.
What the culture that we're living in. Mm-hmm. And if we're not conscious about it, if we're not keeping our heart before the Lord saying, God, help me to have your heart, to see situations, to see people as you see it, then we'll miss it. And I don't know about you, I miss it sometimes.
Yes.
I miss it with my family. I laughed earlier because I miss it with my husband. I wake up and I, you know what? That's unnecessary. But you know, sometimes I wake up and my first thought isn't, Lord, how can I serve my family? Mm-hmm. How can I serve my husband? How can I serve my kids? My first thought is, why didn't they clean these dishes? Why didn't they clean this room? Why didn't this happen? And so, but we want to be in a position, God, give us the heart like Solomon that continuously says, God, these people, these relationships, this influence that you've placed in my lap is a gift. It is a gift, not only for them, you know, as you working through me in their lives, mm-hmm. but it is a gift for me.
Yes.
That, Lord, you are blessing me. You are showing me your favor by giving me this area of responsibility. So I feel like we need to take a breath right there because that has to sink in.
Yes.
Please don't let this just be a word that we hear and it tickles our ears for a few moments on a Sunday morning. But may the truth of God's word and his heart take root in your heart, that you see it as a gift. Here's the thing. Whatever we see that is not a gift from God, we easily release to the enemy and his devices. You know, there is... there's the movie, and I'm gonna bring y'all back to olden days. But the movie, y'all remember the movie The Santa Claus with Tim Allen? And in that movie, I think it's The Santa Claus 3, when he's just overwhelmed and stressed, and the ice guy gets him to say that he wishes he never was the Santa Claus. And then when he says that, he, you know, time turns around and he actually goes back and he loses his position as Santa Claus. And so he spends the rest of the movie trying to have that position. He, in a flippant phrase, mm-hmm. in a frustrated place, spoke words, and this is just a movie, right? He spoke words that unraveled everything in his life, you know, that he was frustrated with at the time, but in the depths of his heart, he was happy with. Okay, Crystal, what does that have to do with right now, what we're talking about with Solomon and recognizing that God wants us to engage in our relationships, recognizing that they're a gift? In the scripture says that the power of life and death is in our tongue. And so at this moment, what we want to recognize is that from the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks, and we want to speak life into our relationships. And that starts with our heart recognizing that our relationships are a gift. Mm. That we don't want to be out here spewing, you know, planting seeds that we don't want to produce fruit.
Yes.
You know, I think about that sometimes when, you know, just flippantly, I'll be like, my kids are just crazy, you know, mm-hmm. or that husband of mine, he's just crazy. And it's just, we don't mean anything by it. We're just talking, but my words are powerful and I want to speak life over the relationships God has given me. Okay, that's my little soapbox. I'm going to jump off of it now. But do you get it? As we are figuring out our family, our relationships, our friendships, and the areas of influence that God has given us, we want the heart of King Solomon that says, one, I'm willing to sacrifice. I yes. wake up with a heart of sacrifice for them. And then I want the heart of King Solomon that says that I am going to engage. I am going to interact with every relationship, recognizing this is a precious
yes.
gift. When Tyler, who's my oldest, he's now 17. You guys fill in the gap between when he was a precious, beautiful little 3-pound, 15-ounce baby. I saw him as this precious little gift. Well, now that he is 180 pounds, or something. I don't know how much he weighs. But he's big. You know, he's a big man and, you know, growing man. Sometimes he's not the ushy-gushy precious one that I remember as a gift. But I have to continue to see him through the eyes of God that he is still a gift.
And, I mean, that's... Y'all can give her some emojis.
I'm good.
Just, you can tell she got getting her preach on.
I'm good.
But, no, I think even, you know, just expounding that point for a little bit further, we have to see people... and engage with people like they are a gift.
Right.
Because Jesus died for people, not buildings.
Right.
Jesus died for people, not buildings.
That's right.
Not
That's
cars.
Good. That's a good point.
Not homes.
Yeah.
He died for people. And so they are the gift that mm-hmm. God gives us mm-hmm. to bring fulfillment and joy in our lives and hope in our lives and encouragement in our lives, correction in our lives, transformation in our lives. And I think what's so fascinating is that when you start talking about a gift, you think about how many gifts you are given, whether at Christmas or your birthday. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You may not always appreciate the gift like you should appreciate it, like you want to appreciate, like we need to appreciate it. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it's an expression of someone's love for you. Mm. And here's the question. Are you not receiving some gifts from God because you don't feel like it's a gift you deserve or it's a gift you don't want?
That's good.
Because some gifts you have to just take and you may unwrap it and go like, I don't know what I'm going to do with it. And then it
figure it out
later what you're supposed to do with
it.
But don't throw gifts, people away just because you don't like how they're wrapped and you don't like the fact that you may not understand how it fits into your life right now.
That's good.
You know, appreciate the gifts that are given to you, the friendships and the relationships that are given to you. And one of the things I said in my notes and that I'm careful of, even with you echoing, is that, look, when you start talking about your words and how we treat people, here's my question. With your friendships and your relationships, are you value adding or are you value subtracting?
That's good. That's good.
Are you marking down the price of gifts? Are you putting gifts on discount? Or are you making sure that these prices, that the price tag on your friendship relationships, they stay high?
That's good. That's
because
good.
Part the word appreciation means value. Am I valuing?
That's good.
Am I valuing people like I should value? Now, I'm going to give y'all way out. I'm going to give you a way out. Everybody in your life may not have the same price tag.
Okay.
And that's okay, which means you can't be best friends with everybody.
Right.
You don't have that space. But everybody should have a baseline price, a baseline value where they are at least respected, treasured
That's good.
For being the child of God that they are.
That's
that
good.
I can still treat you with value, with respect. I can still honor you even though we're not best friends.
That's good, yeah.
Because our culture has created such a divisive climate that if you don't agree with me 100%, I must hate you.
Mm.
And that's not true. I can disagree with you and still see you as a gift.
That's good.
Because there's something inside of you that still blesses me. Your diversity doesn't mean I have to dilute
That's good.
That my good. View of how effective and how much God loves you. No, your diversity can be a complementary part to make me who God wants me to be, the same as my diversity.
I love it. Y'all are bringing some great comments.
I need some comments.
What if everything you said came to pass?
Oh, Jesus.
And I love, I see some people talking about, I'm over here trying to figure things out. This is good. This is good stuff. Let's continue to chew on this.
Watch this. People will live up in many regards to what you say about them. People will live up to what you say about them.
Wow, Lord. I hit you right here.
the people live up to what you say about
them. And not what you say to them.
Not what you say to them. That's what you're saying. But what you say about them.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why if you speak up God's promises over them, then they will live up to what God has said.
Wow, that's funny. It makes me think of the scripture it talks about, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And a lot of times we look at that passage, and rightfully so, as a man thinks in his heart about himself, so is he. Mm-hmm. But as a man thinks in his heart about anything, you know?
Anything.
So it's his life. I think that's a...
Yeah, so that's so that, give us comments, feedbacks, and questions. And you know, and I know we got to get off this
thing. We have two more points, but I think
we probably have hit a nerve, kind of like you might maybe have struck oil with this, seeing people as a gift, because we're in a climate where the attitude of selfishness is so strong because everybody wants to look out for themselves. That nobody wants to really be, you know, and I'm not trying to get on a soapbox, but the idea, I don't want to wear a mask because it's my right. But if you saw me as a gift, would you be more considerate about me?
Right.
You know, you know, quarantine, that, and I see you as a gift, so I'm not going outside.
Right.
You know, everything about this culture now is screaming self-preservation. And God says, no, the relationships I'm a bless, it's about sacrifice. And it's about seeing people as a gift. They're not pawns.
Right.
They're not your project. They are people that I died for and I love. And I want you to treat them like I would treat them. So here's number three. Okay. This whole conversation that Solomon is having with God, it is a private one. It's private. It's in the secret place that he's having this conversation, that he is asking God, you know, about the attitude and the ability to be the best person he can be in terms of friends and relationships. That's why point number three is this: the type of relationships and friendship that God bless, they're empowered through private prayer. They're empowered through private prayer. They're empowered through private prayer. Now, I'm about to say something that may be a little controversial.
Won't be the first time or the last.
You want to say it again so they can get it? It won't be the first time and it won't be the last. I'm going to say something that's probably a little controversial and a little challenging. Watch this. I want you to notice that in God's conversation with Solomon, in this prayer, Solomon says, give me, God, wisdom and knowledge to know how to lead your people. Remember, it's not just a scripture about leadership, but it's about friendships and relationships. Give me wisdom and knowledge to know how to lead, how to govern this great people that you have given me. Wow, Solomon, you're literally saying, give me the ability to know how to be the best friend I could be towards people. Oftentimes when we pray, and this is the way I look, we pray for people in regards to their actions towards us, as opposed to our ability to be the type of friend for them that they really need. So we spend a lot of time praying, and put my head down, look at my notes. We spend a lot of time praying for their actions towards us or against us, but not our attitude toward them. So someone may have actions and attitude towards me. They may have actions that they have done something wrong. But here's the real thing that Solomon shows us. I'm not focused on their actions. God, help me to have the right attitude toward them.
That's good.
Help me not to always pray reactively, but to be proactive in my attitude towards them. Because here's what I believe God would do. The more proactive I am in being the one that God wants me to be towards them, the more he would change them to be who I need them to be as a friend.
That's good.
Because when you and I keep praying reactively, always in response to what somebody's done to us, we never get the fullness of the relationship. It's always issue driven and problem driven, as opposed to purpose driven and promise of God based. We're always, the only thing that keeps us together is our dysfunction.
That's good. That's good. And can we, just because we can, on this note, and as you said, praying for someone else, It's the same picture. Y'all remember in relationships, now I'm specifically talking about husbands and wives. Mm-hmm. When we talk about filling, having our intention, our focus on filling your spouse's love tank.
Yes, yes.
And sometimes we look at the fact that our love tank is empty and we get stuck there. But when we focus on filling our spouse's love tank, then God will move on their heart to be able to fill yours.
Yes.
That is so that's good.
And if I go back to treating people as a gift, Solomon, by having this type of heart, was saying that, God, even though I'm king, I'm not entitled to anything.
Right.
Because you can never enjoy friendships and relationships when the presence of entitlement is there.
Mm.
Because entitlement is designed to mark people's price down.
That's right. That's right.
To keep our price elevated.
And
so, what happens is, I got to have this heart that said, man, God, help me to be proactive, not just always respond. Now, am I saying you don't pray for people if they've done something wrong? No, because Jesus says, pray for those who despitefully use you. So he tells us to pray. I think the greater prayer that he asks in many other passages is when Paul talks about how he says, you know, when he, whether you read Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, any type of place where Paul gives a prayer for that church, he says, man, I remember you with joy and delight. Right. I remember you with just great care and great joy for how you've always supported me and loved me.
Yeah.
What he's saying is the attitude of the heart towards the people that he has friendship and relationship with is always one of such where it's just like, man, I'm proactive so that even if you do something wrong, watch this. The more I pray for my attitude towards a person, when the person does something that is wrong, I have built up such a resolve to see them the right way that their action doesn't immediately cause me to say, I got to cut them.
That's good.
Because if you find it easy to cut people, I guarantee you, you haven't really invested prayers in that relationship. Man, I'm going to give me some more coffee on that one right there. That's a Selah moment. The easier it is to cut people out your life is only a testimony of the lack of prayer you have for that person in that relationship. Because the more you pray for your heart, your attitude towards your friendships and relationships, the harder it is to give up on people.
Mm.
The harder it is to walk away from people.
That's good.
Because God starts showing you maybe some root issues on why they do what they do, why they behave what they have, how they've come to certain conclusions. And you start feeling like, God, maybe you're going to use me to help them.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying this one way, because if I'm doing this for her, she's doing it for me, then the relationships can thrive no matter what conditions we find ourselves in, because she's already said, you know, man, I've already prayed for him and I've prayed for myself that when he hit a crazy season where he's acting funky and he's acting like he don't want to be with nobody and he don't know what he want to eat and he's leaving clothes everywhere and he keep forgetting to take up the clothes to the room, don't want to put a clothes. She's fixed her that's called confession. She's fixed her attitude to say, you know what? With long life and with long love, I'm going to walk with him.
That's right.
I'm not. And all of this comes out of private prayer. You ain't got to go and tell, I'm praying for you. I'm just praying for you. I'm just trying to tell you right now, I'm praying for you. No, it's private prayer.
That's right.
When is the last time you committed days of prayer and fasting for your friendships and relationships? Just invested in God, help me to have the right attitude towards my friends.
I love it. And thinking about Jesus's example that he gave us, you know, often throughout the Gospels, we see where Jesus, he often would withdraw to I think Luke says, the lonely places and prayed. And there's a statement, it says, private encounters fuel our public lives.
Yes.
And so really at this moment and in this time, we're looking at the heart that God can bless as it relates to our relationships and that they're empowered through private prayer. Our private encounters, that's what's going to fuel our public lives. You know, and we remember, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood.
Right.
When we're challenging, we have those challenges and we all have them. When we have those challenges, Ephesians reminds us that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood.
Yes.
That's not our true enemy. It feels like it is, but that's not the true enemy. It's the spiritual piece behind that. So
immature. I think I said it came from Bible study. And our great social media team actually made it a post. Amen. That immature people wrestle and blame people. They think people are their problem. Mature people recognize that their real wrestle is with God. Amen. And it's an issue of submission and trusting God. Amen. And so it's private. All that Solomon was wrestling with in terms of his friendships, relationships, and his attitude of his heart towards them, it was a private prayer issue. And I want to just reiterate, if you find it easily to end relationships and friendships, my question is, how much time do you really invest in private prayer? Watch this, not praying for people to do something for you, but praying for your attitude towards them.
Amen.
Because if you have had 10 best friends in the last 10 years, let's take an assessment on the one constant in every circumstance, every year. I'm Amen. Just saying, I'm in the words of, I call Mrs. Miyagi, Dr. D.N. Johnson over at New Covenant, I'm just saying what I'm saying. That's all. We'll give you this last one. So these are the types of relationships and friendships that God bless. So during this time, as you're figuring out your family, figuring out relationships and friendships, because you know anything and everything that God has purposed and promised, the best of what he has is going to come through a friendship and relationship. Number one, they're built on the foundation of sacrifice. You enter into friendships and relationships that it's not about me. It's not about me taking. It's not about me getting. It's not about me draining. It's about me dying to myself and finding out how I can bless and serve others. Number two, we said it's about treating each person, engaging with people as being a gift. You are a gift. Your diversity of opinion, perspective, abilities, that is a gift. It is complementary parts to me living a more symphonic and more rhythmic life. Your diversity complements me. Now, of course, and I'm kind of backtracking some, of course, we always know opposite attract at the beginning, but opposite attack as the relationship progresses.
That's real.
That's why I have to be having the attitude that says, Lord, help me to see, treat, and value her friendships, relationships, him or her the right way. Because in seasons where the diversity of opinion, gifts, and abilities get on my nerve, I have to be as excited for that season like I was in the season where their diversity was helping me.
That's good.
And we said that all that's empowered through private prayer. But watch this last one. God blesses the type of friendships and relationships that are embraced by God beyond what we can imagine. Embraced by God beyond what we can imagine. God blesses relationships that are where we embrace them beyond anything that we can imagine. What are you talking about? When God says, Solomon, what you want? Solomon could have said, you know what? Every nation that is not friendly to me, kill them. He could have easily said, kill every nation. That's why God says, you didn't ask for death of the enemies. Solomon said, well, if you're going to ask, I know I'm already wealthy, but can I be a bagazillionaire? Not just a billionaire. Can I be a bagazillionaire? He didn't ask for that either. He says, give me wisdom and knowledge to lead your people.
Right.
And God says, man, because you didn't ask for wealth and possessions and none of that stuff. He says, you're going to get what you asked for. And I'm going to give you what you didn't ask for.
Right.
So that there would never been a person like you before. And here's my point. My point is this right here. God doesn't bless relationships and friendships that simply live based upon worldly standards and worldly ways. He blesses friendships and relationships where the person and the people say, you know what, God? You can do something in this that we can't do.
Yes.
You can do something through us that we can't do. I need you to do something in me as a friend that I can't do.
Right.
I need you to make me the type of person that I can't be on my own.
That's it.
And God blesses those friendships and relationships where we know, God, I can't be the fulfillment that she needs. So I'm asking you to be in this relationship so that she doesn't place unrealistic expectations on me and I don't place unrealistic expectations on her. So it is when you and I allow God to be in the midst of the friendships and the relationships for his will and his presence, then you find the blessings of the Lord, because God won't show up and not bring blessings with him.
That's good. And even on this point, can I just challenge us real quick? In whatever relationship that comes to your mind at this moment, can we do as the video game says and level up? Can we level up in the area of our expectation?
Yeah.
You know, whether you're talking about your relationship with your spouse or your relationship with your children, your relationship with coworkers, friends, family, parents, whomever it is, can we level up in our level of expectation?
Yes.
Because even though Solomon wasn't praying to be blessed with material things, God blessed him. And to me, that says, Crystal, your expectation for what God can do should be greater than anything you could ever ask or think.
Yes.
So, Lord, even though I'm not seeking material blessings. I'm seeking to just be used by you and to be in a place where I make you smile. My expectation is, because I know the God I serve, I know my Heavenly Father, He's going to bless me. He's going to bless this relationship.
Yes.
He's going to, my expectation is that my marriage will thrive. It may have some seasons where it feels a little down, but I know that my expectation is the summation of this marriage is that it's going to be going to thrive, and it's going to be a praise on the earth for His Lord.
Have you reduced the potential of your friendships and relationships to manageable expectations? Have you excluded God's supernatural ability to bless your friendships and relationships because you have unhealed hurt or unresolved pain? And so God can't work into friendships and relationships that you have because you're not even imagining the possibilities of better.
You're not even imagining
the possibility of what that relationship can do, because you're still sizing someone up by their skin. You're sizing them up by their race. You're sizing them up by their current profession. You're sizing them up. Yeah. They don't make enough money. You're sizing them up. Oh, they have that title. You're sizing them because they don't look the part. You're sizing them up for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And you know what? And in all honesty, when I look at my life, and it's been said that if you have 2 to 3 good friends that you can trust in times of crises, that you're already wealthy. When I look at my life and survey my life, I recognize that the people I would have never thought to be close with are the ones that God has used to enrich my life the most.
Wow.
Because, I mean, she made a statement when we met on college. Y'all know, we ain't gonna go back down the store, but y'all know she was sweating me on college and, you know, following me around and all this other stuff. She had the vapors and all that other good stuff, you know. But I remember both of us came to college, and I feel safe to say that both of us came to college, we could easily have said, you would have never told us that we would have been married together. We would have never,
That's true.
I mean, you would have never said, yo, y'all married. What? I mean, I tell you, like, Vanessa Huxtable, please. You know, because you want to know why? Because to me, man, I don't come from that type of environment. You know, I was raised by a single mom who did a great job, Connie Barrett. She comes from, you know, a family structure of loving, support, caring. She has 2 older sisters. Her parents were professionals. So that was foreign. But if I wouldn't have imagined or given myself permission to imagine the possibility of a friendship and relationship, she wouldn't be here and I wouldn't be here.
But
you can imagine beyond where you are and invite God in, God does great things through friendships and relationships. Here's the big takeaway. We got to land this plane. Here's the big takeaway. Here's the big so what. Relationships and friendships that keep God in mind will always be on God's mind. Relationships and friendships that keep God in mind will always be on God's mind.
Amen.
And so we want to encourage you on today. It's not the typical Mother's Day message, but when you think about mom, you think about friendships and relationships.
Right.
And on this day, we just want to remind you that there are some friendships and relationships that will attract the blessings of God.
Amen.
And when we engage in the attitude and the actions that says, you know what, man, it's not about me taking, it's about me giving.
Mm-hmm.
It's about me serving the other person. And I'm going to die to the selfishness and self-centeredness of my nature.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to look to be a blessing, that I've been blessed to bless others. that attracts the blessings of God.
Relationships and friendships that keep God in mind will always be on God's mind.
That's Amen. Right. And then when I, and then the second thing was, when I engage in relationships as a gift, see people as a gift. Mm-hmm. They may be different and diverse in thought, opinion, perspective, but that's a gift from God. And don't try to cancel them out or cast them away just because I don't see how it fit at that moment. Yeah. But say, Lord, if you sent that gift in some way, it's a gift to bless and enrich my life. God's blessing comes. And then third, pray for my attitude.
Yeah.
Private prayer, praying for my attitude towards others. God, help me to be the type of friend that I'm asking other people to be. Pray for my attitude, proactive. Then finally, man, I'm just embracing relationships with a supernatural expectation. Level up.
Yeah.
Level up. God, you can do wonders through this relationship. I may not see it, but you can.
Yeah.
And so on this day, we love you. We honor you. Celebrate every mom. We appreciate you from the bottom of our hearts. And I'm going to give you this challenge. If we were in our normal church service, it'd be a take-home challenge. But here is your weekly challenge. Today, this week, I want you to, it's a Bible study. This week, I want you to go through the Bible and find all the one another's. They're all in the New Testament. You can even, I'm going to just help. Yes, you can Google it. Some of y'all, I know you're going to Google it. You can just Google. What are the one another's in the Bible? The one another's. I want you to just go and find all the one another's. Bear the burdens of one another. Love one another. Forgive one another. Pray for one. Find all the one. I gave you some right there. Find all those one another's. And I just want you to just study them, look at them, and meditate on them and commit some to memory. And then secondly, I want you to identify two of your closest friends. Some of you may have more, but just two of your closest friends. And for this week, I want you to pray 7 minutes a day for your friends. I want you to pray 7 minutes a day for your two closest friends, And then finally, I want you to make one new memory with your immediate family or a close friend. This week, make one new memory with your closest friend or your immediate family. For us during this pandemic time, we have been playing. March 15th is when things really started changing. Since March 15th, 16th, give or take, we have been playing Uno almost every night as a family, making new memories. Uno and a game called Spoons. Every night, making new memories. Every night. So I'm going to say, make a new memory this week with your family, with an immediate friend. And so we love you from the bottom of our hearts. I'm going to close this in prayer, but I just want to say, let your relationships be the best that God can make out of them.
That's right.
And your friendships, romantic, professional, let all your relationships be the best. Let's stop looking at people and living with people with brakes on because we're fearful or because we're comfortable. You don't know if God in this season is trying to reset and reposition your relationships for the next season of your life.
Thank you for listening. I pray you enjoyed today's teaching. Let's keep in touch by subscribing to the Discover You podcast. Be blessed.